you coal miner, let me thank you for your time. You work a 40-hour week for a living, just to send it on down the line.
Welcome back to the Jeff Porter Show at FM Talk 106.5. Thanks for staying with us on this Thursday. Yes, what day it is. Sorry, I got my days mixed up. It's been a crazy week. But thanks for sticking with us. April Marie Fogle, going to take it here in a little while, but joining us now on the line, the candidate for United States Senate and my congressman here in the 1st Congressional District, Barry Morris, with us. Congressman, good morning. How are you?
Hey, good, Jeff. We're doing well. Thank you for having us on.
Hey, thanks for coming on. I do appreciate it. Well, let's talk. How's the campaign going?
Well, Jeff, we're hearing good things. We're excited. You know, a lot of people aren't really paying attention to the races before the holidays. So you see there's a lot of undecided, and that's kind of what you expect coming into this primary season. But we're in a very good spot. We've got an incredible record, and I think we've seen the support from around the state from conservatives, but not just in the state, across the nation and within Washington, D.C., Senate Conservatives PAC, other groups that are very conservative that love our record. And they know I'm a known commodity. And so as we start the message on being early with the president, one of the most conservative members in the delegation and ready to go day one, I think we've got a great opportunity to message on that and win this thing.
Well, you know, it's we talk about how it's a marathon, not a sprint, but this is where you got to pick up the pace here at the very beginning of the year in these cycles, right?
That's exactly right. I mean, in the last race I ran, a primary, we were about 100 days before we decided we even were going to do that, and so this time we're still a good ways out. I mean, 5 months is not forever, but you're right. You start ramping up, you start building, and the key to these things is peaking at the right time. We've always done well doing that. And that's a process of just rolling out, especially in the northern part of the state, because most people in south of Montgomery know us. I've represented House District 91 for 2 terms before I term limited myself. And then when the president asked us to run for Congress, we did that. And so I've had a couple of congressional districts because of redistricting. So south in the state, they know us. But, you know, the people in North Alabama just need to know about our record and how we've got that conservative record. We're the most conservative member from the delegation, very similar to coaches. Voting score. Him and I came to D.C. in 2020 together, and so we have voted almost identically. So we have a conservative record we're proud of, and we were early with the president. And so I pushed 100% of his agenda through Congress. And so I think as we message that north in the state where I'm going, people are very receptive to that message.
Well, and that's where you got to really Key, get, I guess, some name ID, get well known is kind of north. I think Montgomery, maybe Prattville North. I guess they knew you when you were in the second district there. But everything kind of north from there up is where you got to do a lot of work.
Yeah, I mean, and the work for us is just running. You know, people always tell you what they're going to do when they get into office. But I think it's incredibly easy for us to talk about what we've done as our time in the legislature and moving bills to law for veterans. You know, I've got 2 bills that were picked up for this cycle that we're hoping to get passed with the RSC report yesterday. And one's to defund the Department of Education. The other is to make sure that people who are here illegally driving drunk, they're taken out of the country once they're caught. And so 2 of those bills are there. And so for us, it's just that, you know, we want to continue to push on what we've done and what we're going to do. And I'm only guy in this race right now, Jeff, that's got any legislative experience. I've moved bills across from ideas to committee, to the floor, to the executive branch to be signed into law. And, you know, come the midterms here in 26, we're only going to have 2 years of President Trump left. And so we can literally move across the hall and continue to do what we've been doing, fighting conservative ideas and values for the state of Alabama and for this nation. And so we're going to message on experience, the fact that we've done it, and the fact that we didn't let the system change us. We've always held to who we were as true conservatives. I've never let the pressure get to me, and I've always been true to my convictions to move the America First agenda across the finish line.
Let's talk about what's going on in the world. The main story right now, it's this ICE situation in Minnesota. It's a judgment call, and the woman, I don't think, should have died, but she put herself in that situation. Really, do you worry this is going to maybe have a chilling effect on some of this immigration enforcement? I mean, do we need to do more to make sure that these ICE agents are able to execute and perform their duties?
Well, it would be nice if local elected officials would support ICE. I mean, in these sanctuary areas where these ICE agents go in, and they're enforcing federal law. So the very people in D.C. that are against them are the people that pass the laws that they're saying, oh, you know, attack ICE agents, resist. And Sheriff Nail said, and we're in the judiciary hearing right now, he said a while ago, he said, if you comply, you don't die. When a law enforcement officer tells you to stop the vehicle, to get out of the vehicle, that's what you do. You don't step on the gas. And so, you know, it's unfortunate that that happened. But the point of the matter is, those law enforcement officers are doing the job that they've been hired to do, that they've been told to do, according to the laws of the United States of America. And somehow or another, the left in the country is making them the villains. And so it's very simple. If law enforcement stops, you comply. You don't try to resist arrest. You don't try to step on the gas. You do what they tell you to do. And so it's things like that. It's just difficult. I don't think Holman's going to back up. I don't think Kristi Noem needs to back up. They have a job to do. And it's unfortunate that many of the local elected officials in those blue states, those sanctuary areas, want to see a resistance towards law enforcement and to protect law-abiding citizens. They're willing to ask us to attack our own law enforcement officers.
Yeah. So, I mean, it just makes you think that this feels like this will in some ways escalate. We start talking about National Guard troops and things like that, just so that these guys can perform their jobs.
Yeah, I mean, it's a matter of going, and 90% of the fraud is Somalians in Minnesota. We just got a report last week, maybe as close to $170 million have been stolen from the United States taxpayers. So we send the federal agents in there to clean the mess up, and somehow or another, the federal agents are the villains in the process. And not the criminal illegals, but the actual law enforcement officers from the federal government are now being the villains. And so it is unfortunate, but yeah, we'll see. I think that, nationally the media is going to spin this and they're going to continue to attack our law enforcement. The left is going to attack them, but the American people are fed up with the abuse, the fraud, the money that's been stolen from them, that's triggered all this inflation and it's triggered this debt. And they're like, go out and clean the mess up. That's what we hired President Trump to do. And I don't think that the people in America will not stand with the president. I think they're with him on this. I know I'm with him on this. He needs to clean the mess up, and that's going to be tough. There's going to be resistance from the left. There always is. There's always going to be this outrage of anything we do to try to clean the mess up that they've made over the years.
Joined by Congressman Barry Moore. He's a candidate for United States Senate here in Alabama. Congressman, the Venezuela Act and capturing Maduro. What do you think of that? I getting a little bit of pushback from some on the right about it, but where are you on that? How do you feel about it?
Well, we got a briefing this week, actually yesterday, a classified briefing. And my takeaway is this. We're the only nation in the world that could do what we did, the way we did. The aircraft that were involved, the intel that was involved, and the way we executed that mission. And most of us saw the photos. I mean, you saw the 47s, the Chinooks, the UH-60s, the Blackhawks go in and execute that mission. And people die and fight all the time for liberty. But Donald Trump just offered Venezuela an opportunity for liberty by just plucking out a tyrant and a dictator. And so for us, I think it's an excellent, excellent step in the right direction. All that, 20 some odd years ago, whenever the regime took over, they seized a lot of U.S. assets. They stole the Venezuelan oil from the people. And Maduro and his cronies started pocketing the profits from that. And the people suffered as a result. So, and look, the Democrats had a $25 million reward on the gas head. I mean, it's like, we're going to give you a reward for arresting him. And then when you arrest him, we're mad that you arrested him. I don't quite understand the mindset there. But for the way we executed that mission, for the Western Hemisphere to take Iran or Russia and Cuba kind of out of our area and to actually give that all back to the Venezuelan people and for the American companies to be able to recover some of their assets and to go back to producing oil that's going to profit the people of Venezuela, I think it was an excellent call on the president. And he didn't drag us into a war. He went in there. He used leverage. He used the operations of our JSOC guys, and they went in and did a fantastic job.
Well, and some of it, I guess, is this threat of China or Russia or some adversarial Iran even getting a foothold in Venezuela, in our hemisphere. And I think some of that has to do with what we did on Saturday.
Absolutely. And I think in many ways, it's going to hurt Cuba in this hemisphere too. So I think that what we did is a national security call by the president and his team, and the way it was executed by the leadership of Hegseth, Marco Rubio, the negotiations. Like, man, Jeff, I couldn't be prouder of our people, our military, and our government, the way we went in. We didn't prolong this thing. It's just like taking out the Iranian nuclear thing. I mean, we just went in and took care of business. And there's no drawn out threats now. And so these are things that, and you and I may not know all the details, and some that we know we can't talk about, but at the end of the day, it is a calculated move to do what we did to make sure that the United States of America and the interests of this country are protected.
Well, and, you know, where does this go from here? You hear some rumblings, Cuba, you know, is this, where do we draw the line? Is some of this? It's very pro-America, but does it cross a line into a place that maybe people are uncomfortable?
Well, you know, I'm probably some people are uncomfortable. The left's never happy, and there may be those of us, you know, or those in our like you said, they're extreme right. It's like more isolationist. But you know, I think Cuba with this oil restriction from Venezuela now, and possibly even Iran. There's a lot of opportunity for us to reinstall the prince, you know, of Iran back in place. And so, you know, and it's going to be the people in those countries that, like Iran, for example, since the late 70s when the Shah was taken down, they have never lived under liberty. They have never tasted liberty. They observed liberty, maybe around the globe. They've never had an opportunity to live in liberty. And I think for us as a nation, if we're allowing people to live free and to have opportunities, hopefully they'll have the courage and the wherewithal. And if we can coordinate with them from intel or whatever that looks like to help those people remove tyrants and dictators, I don't think that's a bad thing.
Congressman, one of the things I think sort of come up during this cycle, and it's sort of just the way you see yourself representing Alabama. And I know you've talked about it in the past, especially during your congressional run, but what do you see yourself as? I mean, you know, we have this long legacy in this state of sending people to Washington that are like appropriators that want to steer money toward the state. There's also that legacy of kind of being the somebody's trying to get the country on the right track, maybe look at things differently and not make that an emphasis of bringing in money or whatever to the state. How do you find the right balance there?
Yeah, and that's a good question. How do you balance that? And so part of that, I think, is supporting the president, because he mentioned when he briefed us in Congress Monday or Tuesday, I can't remember what day it was. I'm like, yeah, lost track of my days yet. But he actually talked about in the history of the recent history of the country, the most net proceeds we've seen is $3 trillion. He's brought in $18 trillion in investment to this country. So, you know, there's ways that we can spend that money wisely, certainly reducing the debt part of that. But also, I think that as conservatives, we understand that investment in infrastructure and defense are things that even us as conservatives can agree on. Now, I'm not going to pave you walking trails. I'm probably not going to go build you ballparks. That's something local communities ought to do. But I think there's a way to balance the investment in infrastructure and reducing regulations and taxes, Jeff, that allow industry to grow. And when I was in the state legislature, we brought Austell and Airbus and Remington and Polaris and Kimber Firearms, a lot of companies to Alabama. And we're continuing that legacy, my legacy and many others that served with us, of bringing now. We saw Spacecom coming, $6 billion investment from Lilly. Novellus is investing $4 billion in Alabama. So there's an opportunity, as President Trump talks about the golden age of America, to have a golden age of Alabama. But at the same time, I understand that we cannot continue spending like drunk sailors. But there's a way to grow the economy and to make great American jobs and investment in this nation that'll allow us to work our way out of that debt. But we can't keep wasting money on fraud and abuse, kind of like what we're uncovering, what Doge uncovered. And so, you know, the legacy is you continue to vote conservative, you invest in things that actually grow the economy and make Americans safe. And you can do those sort of things, like in the Big Beautiful Bill, we funded the border wall. We went in and hired ICE agents. We did what we had to do to make sure that the nation's safe. And certainly we invested in the Golden Dawn, which is going to defend us from foreign adversaries. So a lot of things we're doing. But look, Jeff, we talk about, you know, I just talk about people love liberty. And if you look at my liberty score, it's the highest in the delegation. I was the most conservative member in the Alabama delegation when I served. but you can be effective and conservative.
Well, and you know, bringing home things, these long-needed – I mean, you know, we could talk about Space Command and things like that, but down here, it's the I-10 bridge and getting federal funding for that. There's a half a dozen road projects. I mean, like, you know, walking trails is one thing, but some of these infrastructure projects that are a federal responsibility are another thing. Where do you see yourself lining up on that?
Well, I mean, I think that the president and you and I all would agree that investment on roads grows the economy. That's an investment of your tax dollars. They're going to create jobs locally. And the way we do that is to make sure that we're at the table. We have relationships. I can pick up the phone and call the president when I need something, and he takes my calls. I don't call him a lot, but when I need him, I call him. And it's the same with these relationships on the Hill that I've developed over the years here in the House and in the Senate. It's working with people to make wise investments of taxpayer money that will grow the economy, that's in a return on a taxpayer's investment instead of a one-time program or an entitlement program that drains the resources of taxpaying Americans.
Well, we'll have this discussion probably more in depth over time. But in the meantime, if folks want to find out more about your campaign, get to know you a little bit better, how can they do so?
Hey, thanks for asking, Jeff. It's BarryMooreForAlabama.com.
All right. Congressman Moore, we appreciate it. Let's do this again soon.
Yes, sir. Thank you, Jeff.
All right. Let's get a break in here. We'll be right back. This is the Jeff Moore Show on FM Talk 106.5.
The first thing I remember knowing was a lonesome whistle blowing and a youngin's dream of growing up to ride on a freight train leaving town, not knowing where I'm bound, and no one could change my mind, but mama tried.